the generation. We're the culmination. Final voice the world will hear. Coming up, the Lord is near. Living out the revelation. Overcoming sin's temptation. Truth will go to every tongue and nation. We are the chosen generation. Let's sing that again. We are the generation. We're the culmination. Final voice the world will hear. The coming of the Lord is near. Living out the revelation. Overcoming sin's temptation. Truth will go to every tongue and nation. We are the generation. We're the culmination. Final voice the world will hear. The coming of the Lord so near. Living out the revelation. Overcoming sin's temptation. Truth will go to every time.
Thankful for that tonight. We've got just several prayer requests tonight. I'll just read these to you. And Brother Jason Watkins, if you wouldn't mind to come and pray over these. I'm glad to have him in the service with us tonight. Amen. Brother Jason. There is a urgent request, prayer request for Marcella Witter. Her daughter, Tammy Stanley, been suicidal for many years. She's 27 years old. Has been to counseling, been on medication, nothing's helped. Please have the saints pray for her that our Lord and Savior will remove this demon. I don't want to lose my only daughter. This has caused a depression for our sister also. So let's remember that very, very serious need. Also pray for Brother Lewis and Sister Linda Lars's daughter, Naomi. Found out today that she has an enlarged heart, also infection in both ears right now. Let's remember that. Sister Teresa Vest went to the urgent care today for chest pain, and they sent her on to the hospital to be evaluated. So let's remember that need. Pray for Brenda McClinic, needs the Lord. She's not expected to live very long. Prayers for her salvation. That's from Sister Laura Krause. That's her sister. So let's certainly remember that. Pray for Doug Bruce from Indiana for healing in his body. Sister Peggy Larson from Wisconsin sends this. I have 11 more radiation treatments left. Then I have to have a CT scan on my lungs. They say there's a spot they want to check out. I'm believing and trusting that the spot will not be anything serious. Please continue to pray manifestation of my healing. So let's remember that need. Brother Keith Phillips home not feeling well. Brother Samuel Shuffler turns in a request. Just wants the church to forgive him, not putting God first in his life, and wants just you to remember him in prayer. So let's stand tonight. Brother Jason comes, if he will, and just take these knees to the Lord tonight. God bless you, buddy. Thank you.
God bless you, saints. Let's pray. Precious Lord Jesus, we come before you tonight, Lord, with purpose in our heart, with faith in our heart, believing, Lord God, that we haven't gathered in vain. We're believing that we don't pray in vain. We're believing these requests weren't read in vain. We know, Lord, that whenever we ask according to your word, you hear us. The Bible teaches us that. But Lord, it doesn't just stop there. The apostle goes on to say, once we know, if we know that you've heard us, then we know we have what we've asked for. So Father, we commit these needs into your hand tonight. You heard them read, every one. And we believe that Prayer changes things, Lord. We believe that prayer changes everything, Lord. There's not one of us in here, Lord God, who could move a mountain tonight. There's not one of us who could do the impossible. But our prayer can move you, and you can move a mountain, Lord. You can do the impossible. So we're calling Jesus on the scene tonight, Lord, for these needs. With perfect faith, Lord, believing that you will meet every one of them. And we call them as done. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
Thank you, Brother Jason. Let's sing this song together tonight. When I think about the Lord, key of G. When I think about the Lord, how He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, how He healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how He picked me up and turned me around, how He placed my feet on solid ground. Tonight, if the brothers would like to come lift the offering tonight, let's sing Walking Up the King's Highway in D. And I think Brother David Swanson has a song for us tonight, so really looking forward to that. Let's sing this together, and then Brother David comes up. Walking Up the King's Highway. Help me sing this, Brother Harry.
Well, my way gets brighter and my load gets lighter, walking up the King's Highway. There's joy in knowing with Him I'm going, walking up the King's Highway. don't have to worry. And don't have to hurry. Won't that be nice? Walking up the King's Highway. Christ walks beside me. Angels have guided me. Walking up the King's Highway.
Song I seen back there. That's good. I didn't want to sing it without him being here. He came to me. Are we glad for that? We couldn't come to him, so he had to come to us. The gulf that separated me from Christ my Lord. It was so vast, the crossing I could never ford. From where I was to his domain, oh, it seemed so far. I cried, dear Lord, I cannot come to where you are. He came to me. Oh, he came to me when I couldn't come to where he was. He came to me. That's why he died. Yes, he died on Calvary. When I couldn't come to where he was, he came to me. Yes, he came to me when I was bound in chains of sin. Oh, he came to me when I possessed no peace within. He picked me up and gently drew me to his side, where today in his sweet love I now abide. Oh, he came. That's why he died, yes, he died on Calvary. When I couldn't come to where he was, he came to.
That was beautiful, Brother David. So appreciate the gift and the anointing. So appreciate that. Let's stand tonight. Change the order of the service here. Minister will come out. I guess Brother Donnie will come and introduce our brother. But let's sing this together for a moment. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Let's be prepared to take this word that we hear tonight and pack it out of here in flesh and go face our week with it. Let's sing this together. Key of G.
Well, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving.
To be the sanctuary of the mighty God that at one time we Gentiles didn't even have a right to approach Him. But not only can we come into His house, we are His house. Praise be to God. I hope that never becomes common to us. Amen. Are you happy to be gathered together tonight in the name of the Lord? Amen. Certainly appreciate the Wednesday night service. Always enjoy being able to be together. We have some visitors with us tonight, Brother Jason and Sister Debbie Watkins. Appreciate them being with us. And also Brother Crosby and his wife, Sister Florence, maybe their children. They're from England, and he's going to speak for us tonight. Now, he's originally from Zimbabwe, and he told me a while ago, he said, I hope you did not think that it was a white man coming from England. Since we have no problem with color, it don't make any difference to us, does it? Amen. Our God is a God of life. So we want to invite our brother to come and speak to us about what the Lord's placed on his heart. Actually, Brother Jason and I was going to go to Russia together, and then we were going to take our wives and go from Russia, was coming to Vienna, was going to be there for a day, and then was actually going to Brother Crosby's place and going to have some meetings with there, and I was going to have a few days just touring through the countryside of England. And whenever Carol fell and broke her arm, of course that put change of the plans on everything. But as far as I know, they've not been canceled. They've just actually been postponed for a little bit. So reschedule it later by the help of the Lord. So Amen. Can we sing together Amazing Grace? How many has needs in your heart tonight before the Lord? Amen. Brother Goad, good to see you tonight, buddy. God bless you. Let's sing together Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that
greet you all tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many is happy to be in the house of the Lord?
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. I believe it was David who said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Just being invited in God's house is something that's worth being glad over. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'd like to give a special thank you to Brother Donnie for the confidence of putting a man he's never had preach in his pulpit. Amen. I believe must be the Holy Ghost in him. A deep calls to the deep. Amen. I'd like to also give special thanks to my friend Brother Jason. Just like you've heard the pastor say, the trip was not cancelled, but it's been postponed. We're so much looking forward to have Brother Donnie and Brother Jason that part of the world. So therefore, we're just waiting for God's time and God's season, and I believe He makes all things beautiful in His time. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Shall we bow our heads and pray? Gracious Father, Lord, we come before You in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father God, there is no other name, O God, in heaven or in earth, that is worthy to be praised than that name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we truly are thankful for allowing us to come into Your presence. More so, Lord, in the presence of this august congregation, even as Your scripture says, where two or three are gathered in Your name, there You are in their midst. We have no reason to doubt Your presence in our midst. We pray that, Lord, You might just give us grace to take the rhythm of the Holy Ghost, and so be able to surrender ourselves so that You can move through these mortal vessels to bring Your immortality. We appreciate You, for You, O God, are all-knowing and all-wise. We bless Your name and we pray for a special blessing upon Brother Donnie, Lord God Almighty, even the congregation and everyone that's here under expectation. Even as the prophet told us that You get according to Your expectation, I believe someone has come to church expecting to hear from You. Therefore, Lord, just move us aside and speak to Your people like only You know how to. Father God, we surrender the service into Your hands in the name of our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray and believe. Amen and amen. Amen. Glory be to God. I, without taking much of your time, persuade you to turn with me to the Bibles, to the book of Mark chapter 16. If you found the place, we shall read from verse number 12. And after that he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. After that he went unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Amen. May the Lord add blessings to the reading of His word. I'd like to take my text from the scripture, which says, "In my name they shall cast out devils." That's verse number 17. Praise the Lord. You may take the comfort of your seats. Amen. I greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ once again. For a title, I would like to preach about the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, it's a wonderful name, the name of Jesus. What a lovely name, the name of Jesus. Amen. It's the kind of name that if it's mentioned and you remain still and quiet, something is definitely wrong with you. Because the first time it was mentioned, a baby that had never leapt for 6 months shouted for joy in the womb of her mother. So what a lovely name, the name of Jesus. I'd like to talk to you on the subject of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you love the Lord? Do you appreciate His name? It says, if you believe in the word and you are baptized in His name, you will be saved. If you believe not, you will be damned. So it's about how you perceive and receive the word of God. Amen. There is a part that you have to play, which is the believing part. So it's in your hands what you believe about the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And over the years, because the name has been mentioned a lot, it seems like it's one of those things that if you're a Muslim, you talk about the name, it's got to be Muhammad or something like that. It's part and parcel of that religion. But to us, it's far more important than that. As we get into the message, you will still see that the name of the Lord is something that is more precious, more powerful, more relevant, and more needed even in this day and in this hour. Amen. So I'd like to just ask you to follow with me this quotation as we try to bring us an introduction to this subject. This is what the prophet says. He says here, he said, "Moses, throw it down." And he threw the stick down. It turned into a serpent. And Moses fled. He said, "Pick it up." And he looked it by took it by the tail, and it turned back to a stick again. Moses, I guess, could say, "I've seen strange things today." And so when he seen the stick turned into a snake, now what was that stick? And then Brother Brown makes a pause, he poses a question and answers, says, "That's what we are going to speak on. What was that stick?" Amen. Now, whenever a prophet poses a question like that, you must take a hold and just, you know, take a pause and try and understand what exactly is driving him to say it that way. So he says, "What was that stick?" And then he says, "That's what we're going to talk about." So because of that quotation, I'll ask you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 4, because that's where we find Moses and a stick. Exodus chapter 4, from verse 1, the Bible says, "And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. The Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand, take it up by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand." Verse number 5 says, "That they may believe that the Lord God of thy fathers the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. Amen. Now notice in this scenario, Moses has met the burning bush in chapter 3. God has spoke to him through the bush that burned, and yet he still seems to acknowledge his impediments. He sees that the mighty God has come down and spoke to him and has sent him with a message to deliver his fellow folks. But now somehow he gets to a reality orientation. He begins to see his language, that he's got a language barrier. He stammers. It takes him a while for him to say, the Lord spoke, praise the Lord. Before he even says, God spoke to me, somebody's ready to disbelieve, because he didn't have the temperament of a believable character. Neither did he have the tongue of somebody that was eloquent enough to express the mighty God through his voice. So when it came to chapter 4, he said, hang on a minute. Before I get excited and get into this mission, I must be able to address the God that has sent me. Now, do you know the type of a person you're sending? Because the moment I get to my brethren, they will not believe me. He understood that Miriam had won over him. He understood that Aaron had won over him. Everybody that knew his life story, he even had a docket, rather a warrant of arrest over his life. And then he's coming back telling the folks that God has spoke to him to go and speak to the people. So he says, Lord, the people will not believe me. I like it when you are realistic with yourself and you know that I ain't a preacher. I am not going to be able to preach unless the Holy Ghost comes into my life. I like it when people are able to actually see their frailties and then say, Lord, use me how you like to use me. Somebody say amen right there. So Moses, confronted with his personality, his impediments, and all the things against him, he had to definitely address that situation before he went into his calling. And the Lord said to him, okay, to solve this issue of being believed or not believed, what is it that is in your hand? He said, I've got a stick. And the Lord said, okay, throw that stick down. He threw the stick down. He said, pick it up. Now, the first reaction that he did is he ran away from the stick, which is what I would possibly do myself. I ain't like one of these people that handle rattlesnakes. I run away from snakes. It's a natural instinct. So Moses ran away from it, and the Lord said, you are running from the thing that's supposed to be your unction for what I'm sending you. Pick it up by the tail. And the Lord just, the Lord wasn't even concerned about his human personality, that he's nervous at the stick. So he simply said, pick it up. Brother, when God gives you an instruction, it doesn't matter whether you're afraid of the thing you are being asked to pick up. Just pick it up. Amen. So Moses went and picked it up, and he saw strange things that day. That stick, amen, that had become a snake, became a stick again. And he'd never seen that. He had never even heard his father Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob have such an experience. He had no reference to that kind of an experience. But yet the Lord was playing a drama that is meant to be relevant for the believer today. It will only be relevant to us now because we are in the revelation of the word, because the prophet came and unveiled the mysteries of the Bible. Somebody say amen right there. To someone it was a scary drama of a stick that turned into a snake, but God was surely doing something to make us be believable. That was in the first Exodus. In the second Exodus, there is two people that the Lord comes to walk with going to Emmaus. He joins them and begins to relate scriptures. And he begins to speak to them right up to the present day. And the people were able to witness that the Lord was with us. And they actually testified one to another, said, didn't our hearts burn as he spake with us? But they forgot that they needed to have something so that they can be believed by their fellow men. So they went ahead to the city, so tried to tell people that the Lord appeared unto us. And the people did not believe. That none of them believed their account. Because all they remembered was there was a man that was crucified who was supposed to be a Messiah. So here are these two guys coming on the scene saying, the Messiah is risen up. He says, okay, what do you go by so that we can believe that the Messiah has risen up? Then the Lord upbraided them for unbelief, and then he came now to his 11 disciples. Knowing that now we have a scenario where if you go with nothing, nobody will believe you. You can't even go and testify with the theology of the message unless you demonstrate a power, nobody will believe you. So he stands there and he says, right, I've come. And he says to them, the 11 minus Judas, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and it shall not harm them. The only other time we see God asking people to take up a serpent is in Exodus chapter 4. In the first Exodus. Now we are in Exodus, in Mark, after his resurrection, he's telling people they shall take up serpents. And the prophet says, that stick, that's what we're going to talk about tonight. You all follow me on the screen right there? Praise the Lord. Let's raise it up, my brother. It says here, raise it up. Oh, isn't it nice when technology tries to fail you at such a time? Can I go to my next slide, my brother? So you see here, Brother Branham is introducing a subject about the great warrior Moses, and he says, tonight, what we're going to talk about is that stick. Amen. And he says here, it wasn't an ordinary stick anymore, for it was the judgment rod of the Almighty God. What did it symbolize? It says here, the cross. And then, why? How would it symbolize the cross? Because on the natural, it was wood. Remember the drama of Exodus chapter 4? The stick, that's what the prophet is trying to explain. He says, on the natural, it was wood. But it symbolized something. That's what the prophet is addressing. He says, what did it symbolize? On the natural, it was a stick. And on the spiritual, it was a serpent. And how could the serpent represent Jesus? The serpent, as it was a reptile, a snake, it represented sin already judged. For Satan was sinned in the serpent in the Garden of Eden. Amen? Are you going to listen to me like a grade one student? Here's what the prophet is saying. If you looked at that stick, it was a natural stick. But when it was turned into a snake, into a serpent, it was no longer an ordinary stick. On the supernatural, it represented the sin that happened in the Garden of Eden. So what you now have, when Moses left home with a stick, it was just whatever, whether he got it from a poplar tree, whatever tree he got it from, it just was a stick. But when God was trying to show something that was being reenacted for some 4,000 years later, he made that stick to represent the sin that was committed in the Garden of Eden. Are you with me so far? Stay with me as I try to read this quote. The prophet says, which was a reptile, he was the missing link between man and animal, and he stood there and he walked upright and was the most subtle of all the beasts. And when he was cursed and he lost his legs and went off of him, and on his belly he went, and that showed that he was already judged when he became a reptile. Then the prophet says, and then Christ, was sin in the serpent already judged. The lamb slain from the foundation of the world. I'm now on slide number 4 in case you catch up. The lamb slain from the foundation of the world says the cross plus Christ the judgment. So Abraham is saying that stick and what it became, when it was a stick alone, it represented the cross. But when it became the serpent, it represented sin already judged. In other words, that's when that tall man lost his hips and he went down. That was a judgment sign. So Christ was already reenacting his judgment of sin on Calvary, but yet playing the part in a type with Moses in the book of Exodus. My. It says, there he goes to Egypt. As many times as I said, a one-man invasion. Had his wife, ran and got his wife, and sat her on a mule, and a child on each hip. There he is, going towards Egypt, going down, says, could you imagine a one-man invasion going to Egypt to take over? But he did it, because God promised he would be able to do it. And while he was down there, then Moses went and he waved this stick across rivers. He turned water into blood, waved it towards the skies, waved it to darkness. And everywhere he put the stick before him, it was judgment. Judgment went before the stick because the stick was the judgment road. And the prophet says, get it? Because he knew he was bringing out a truth that the theologians throughout the ages were not able to bring out. So he says, do you get it? Because it's a strange theology. It's something that would be an uncertain sound to religious folks. But according to the prophet, it's the revealed word for the bride. Somebody say amen right there. So he says, do you get it? How many is getting it? And he says, yeah. Now, when he wanted fleas, he raised this stick towards the air like that and sprinkled dirt and dust, blood. Fleas came from everywhere. Judgment, divine judgment. He brought the fire out of heaven, lightning into the earth, great hailstone. Oh my, you just moved what I was reading. Okay, that's fine. Great hailstone. If, listen to this carefully, says here. Now, as Moses went with the judgment stick before him, the prophet says, that same stick tonight to the church is Jesus Christ. What is the prophet saying? That little drama of Exodus chapter 4 is actually the thing, the mystery that was behind Moses' victory was that stick. And then he turns around and he brings it to present day. And it says, that stick tonight is Jesus Christ to the church. And then he says here, if those Egyptians could have ever got that little simple stick out of Moses' hand, they would have had him whipped. In other words, Moses, without the stick, was like an ordinary brother without the new birth. The mystery behind the power that Moses displayed was hid in the stick. Because the stick was no longer a stick. It was something that represented something far greater than the stick that it was. When the supernatural came on the stick, it had a representation of judgment, and it also possessed the power that if you come under that judgment, You will be able to use that stick to judge everything that comes under the influence of that stick. So he says here, if the Egyptians knew the mystery behind Moses' power, they would have whipped him just by taking away that stick. And he says here, and when the devil, the quote is continuing, when the devil could ever get the deity out of the name of Jesus, he's got the church whipped. But as the judgment stick went before Moses to take the judgment, to bring the judgment, so does the name of Jesus Christ go before us to take our judgment, stand our judgment of sickness, stand our judgment of death, stand our judgment of troubles. The prophet sings there, says, take the name of Jesus with you as a shield from every care. When temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. Amen. Says, when darkness begins to gather, breathe the name of Jesus. What is it? It's God's representative of judgment. Christ already judged for our sins. Christ already judged for our temptation. Christ already judged for our sickness. See what I mean? It was God's judgment rod. As long as the rod was waved on, it was judgment. Are you getting it? It says, Moses, that night after leading the children of Israel out, come out to Pharaoh's army, the pillar of fire went down and hung between Pharaoh and the pursuing army. It made light to the children of Israel and darkness to Pharaoh and kept them apart. Amen. A go-between. Oh, I'm so glad today that he is our go-between. In sickness, in between death and life, he's my go-between. He's the one that takes death in one hand. Just excuse me. Is the one that takes death on one hand and life on another hand. He is that link that connects men to God, the go-between. Amen. So basically what the prophet has done is laid the foundation of telling us the mystery behind Exodus chapter 4 and what is now saying the stick that goes behind is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So now, if you can make the coalition between Exodus chapter 4 and Mark chapter 16, you are able to see that when he came, because Moses' question was, I will not be believed without this name. Without the stick was supposed to be the thing that gives Moses the confidence that if he goes before his people, they will believe him. So the stick was what he waved whenever he went through anything. That was not natural. He waved the stick and the stick brought judgment to the thing that he did. And then the prophet says that name is now, that stick is now equivalent to a believer using the name of the Lord. Which means, my brother, if you are born again, you've got the Holy Ghost. When you have the deity of the name in your life, you become a person who's moving around like Moses waving a stick before the Red Sea. It simply means, my brother, whatever you go through, as much as God equipped Moses with a stick, he has equipped the believer with a stick. That is why the name of the Lord is not a cliche to make us to say we are Christians. The name of the Lord is a reality. It's a reality that we use on a daily basis. Back in the day of Moses, only Moses had the stick. But according to Mark, said, this sign shall follow them that believe in my name. Which means every one of us is entitled to a stick. It's not a stick for brothers only. It's not a stick for brothers only. Neither is it a stick for... It's a stick for believers. So the scripture simply says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall take up. Which means whatever you're going through, my brother, every one of us has been given an equipment to deal with anything supernatural in their life. Just like Moses was a one-man invasion to an army, but yet with a stick he knew he was a majority. So the prophet says, take the name of Jesus with you as a shield from every snare. When temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. So allow me to make a little drama. Praise the Lord. If you've got the text, say amen. You understand that Moses' stick, amen, is the equivalent of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. After the Lord done spoke and demonstrated everything to Moses, Moses was ready to make his journey to Egypt, where he had been running away from. Brother, let me tell you, when Jesus comes into your life, you are able to go where you were running from. Because the word of God gives you an authority through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there he is, Moses is leaving a place that has every poster and every corner plastered, wanted, dead or alive. Dangerous fugitive, do not approach. Ran away and stayed for 40 years, but when he came, all the corners had a bounty for Moses' head. Fancy going to a place where there is a bounty for your head. But Moses did it because he now had a stick. And imagine him going to Pharaoh, meeting the first, amen, border patrol or guards or policemen or bounty hunters. And he looks at them. They could see the flaw on Moses' face that this man has been with the Lord. Amen. They couldn't approach him because of the glory of God. Because he now had an aura that he never had before. So Moses goes right up to Pharaoh's palace. He gets there and says, Pharaoh, let my people go. No explanations. And Pharaoh says, or else what? Or else what? Moses says, I ain't in the mood for talking right now. I'll just show you what I have. He threw his stick down. The stick turned into a serpent. You would have thought that at that point, Pharaoh would have simply said, okay, Moses, let the people go. When do you want to leave? No. Says, bring me Jannes and Jambre. And they also came with their sticks. Threw their sticks there. So now we have three sticks. And the Lord never told Moses what to do when another stick has been presented. And according to Moses, he only knew that his stick is able to do the miraculous. He didn't realize, amen, that there were some imposters who could do the same thing. Somebody say amen right there. If you go about and say, oh, our prophet had so many miracles, you'll be shown someone that says, here's what they also did. Says, Brother Branham raised people out of the wheelchair. Says, so did A.A. Allen. But the difference between Pentecostal miracles and message miracles is that there is a longevity and a life and something that cannot be disputed. So Moses did not know that as soon as he gets there and there is another drama that he had not been told, what was he going to do? Now Moses is surprised. Oh. He didn't tell me that in case somebody has another stick, what is my stick going to do? So he stands there. That's the beauty of standing still, to see the salvation of the Lord. He stands there not knowing what to do. But let me tell you, brother, as he stood there, that stick got such a ravenous appetite. Said, I'll have me some snake breakfast and have another snake lunch with another snake. Somebody say amen right there. That stick ate the two sticks. So it was no longer just a stick. It was now a stick that ate a stick and ate another stick, and it became a stick. So Moses was now in possession of a very, very, very powerful stick that it swallowed all the other supernatural. That is why right now the only thing that can exist is the message of the hour. All other things have got an expiry date. But when it comes to the message of William Branham, it still stands alive and well. It's a stick that has eaten all the other sticks. That is why the Pentecostal world has a habit of bringing out the man at a particular time. And once in a while, he's caught up into something disgraceful. He's off the scene. Then comes another. He's off the scene. But the message still remains magnificent and glorious. Somebody say amen right there. My. Do you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord? Or say amen if you do. Praise the Lord. I'd like to prove to black folks that white folks can say amen. Hallelujah! So now, if you now take Acts chapter, so if you go to the scriptures and you take Acts chapter 2, verse 38, it tells you everyone that ought to be baptized ought to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. To a lot of people, it's just like some theology of understanding the mystery of Matthew chapter 28 verse 19. So we now understand the Godhead. But it's far deeper than the Godhead understanding. It actually means sin for it to receive proper judgment. It ought to come under the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, you are not giving sufficient judgment to that sin. That is why the revelation of Jesus Christ is what brings the new birth. When Pentecost came, Acts chapter 2, they were shouting. They were screaming. The Holy Ghost came down. The devil never got out of bed. He remained asleep. But when we get to Acts chapter 3, we see Peter going to the gate called Beautiful. When he gets there, he sees a lame man that has been lame, and this man is expecting some cash, some alms. And Peter says, "Silver and gold have I none. Such as I have, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." From that very moment, the tables were turned. You now get into Acts chapter 4. Everybody woke up. Caiaphas, Annas, the rest of the clergy, they convened an emergency meeting. Say, what is going on? There is a new religion in town. This religion is wiping people out of our synagogues. We must do something. So they then bound Peter, the rest of the disciples, and says, right, we are threatening you. We need you to tell us one thing. By what power? Or by what name? Because there is a synonymity between a power and a name. So it's by what power or by what name has this man risen up? Then Peter took a cue, he started to preach to them, says, by the name of Jesus Christ whom you crucified, doth this man walk? Then they asked them out of the council, and then they brought in the conveyors of the council, spoke to one another, said, right, let me tell you, if these people continue to preach in the name of Jesus Christ, and more people continue to be raised, our religion is going to be in vain. So what do they do? Says, right, let's threaten them. They can preach in any other name, but let them not preach in the name of Jesus. So they call them back into the meeting. Says, right, gentlemen, we have seen that you've got a very good purpose, which is to lead people to God. So we don't mind you preaching as long as you omit the name of Jesus. And Peter said, right, okay, so you don't mind us being motivational speakers. You don't mind us preaching about 10 ways of financial freedom. You don't mind us speaking about how to keep your marriage. You don't mind us talking about how to raise children, 10-point system of how to raise them until they are adults. Says, exactly. Says, as long as your sermon is not in Jesus' name. And then Peter looked at his other disciples, being the spokesman, says, right, would it be good, judge you, would it be good for us to listen to you or to hearken unto God? Okay. Then they went back again behind the scenes. It says, now, we cannot deny that a notable miracle has been done by these people. We have to forbid them to use this name. While they were coming back again, there were 5,000 people lined up for baptism in Jesus' name. And when the 5,000 people were lined up for baptism, they looked at each other. The high priest says, I guess it's a little bit too late for us to stop this move. Then they said, the only way for us to survive is to go quiet, because if we fight them, we have lost 5,000 votes. We will lose further 5,000 votes because we are fighting a people with a move that is a move of God. So they went under. They never fought the name of the Lord until 312 AD at the Nicaea Council, but the seeds for fighting the name of the Lord were already sown in the book of Acts. So Brother Branham now comes on the scene and he begins to explain to the believers that when you understand the mystery of the name of the Lord, it's understanding the judgment road that you have for anything in your life. When Peter got to that gate, he judged the sickness that was in that lame man at the gate called Beautiful. Now Peter begins to understand the power that's in this name. Can you imagine if a believer is able to take them out, to take themselves out of a sermon and actually take a glimpse and a revelation of the name of Jesus Christ, what it will do for your circumstances? It means you have the equivalent of Moses. What Moses had as a stick, you have as the name of the Lord. That is why Peter was capable of saying, silver and gold I don't have. Have I not? But such as I have, he now had the confidence of knowing that this name, if you understand what is underneath the power of the name of Jesus Christ, there is nothing that can stand before the scripture. Now, it's given to every believer. It's our go-between, between sickness and death. Anything that we are supposed to confront in life has got to be dealt with in the name of Jesus Christ. Believers out this? Now, Brother Branham couldn't just preach things and not demonstrate exactly how these things are. Because the message of the hour is such a phenomenal force, because as you know that as the prophet says in the message countdown, every natural achievement is a forerunner of every spiritual achievement. Amen? Just before the astronaut age, we had the Pentecostal age. It was tried by an aeroplane. Then came, amen, the countdown, the Brother Branham preached, and then we had the astronauts. But right now, everyone has got an iPad. And everyone is busy downloading applications. Why are they called applications? It's a natural achievement to have an app where you actually ring, you just have seen Brother Jason just, you say, Brother Jason, would like to find us? Okay, let me ask Siri. Because he downloaded the app that speaks to him off the phone, says, where can we get such and such a thing? And it answers. And it'll give you the GPS. It'll tell you exactly where to go. Because it has an application. Science has advanced in such a way that everything that is needed is right there at the fingertip of that thing. Until right now, certain people can't live without their gadgets because of the apps they've downloaded. That is why when this thing failed me, I decided to preach freestyle, because I've downloaded this app in my database, in my system, in my spirit. I'm telling you, my brother, my sister, when that app is upon you, it's an application mode. And when you have an application mode about how to apply the powers of God in the end times, you now have the application mode of how to cast out devils. In my name, they shall cast out devils. In my name, they shall drink deadly things and will not harm them. In my name, it means the application is relevant for devils. The application is relevant for your salvation. The application is relevant for anything that you need in this journey. Because the Bible done said, all that the bride needs are in them tapes and books. So the message of the hour is the current. Current. Most current. I'm not a... Some people like Android. Others like iPhone. Is that right? And there's certain apps you can't get on Android, which you can get on iPhone, and certain apps you can get on the other, which you can get on that. Is that right? But the message of the hour is the only place where you can get the correct application of the things that you need in this journey of the word. Nothing works outside of what was prescribed by William Branham. So you find that you have some people that use the name of Jesus, but they don't have the correct software. It always has some viruses because they've taken out the deity out of it. It is a name, all right, but it doesn't have the power of God behind it, because they don't know how sisters ought to leave their hair growing. They don't know how to attract the Holy Ghost in their lives. They simply come and speak a name and say, Jesus, Jesus. But that's not what we're talking about. The prophet has told us that if we can get, amen, the deity that's in that name, we are an invincible army. So the issue and the challenge is about keeping the deity of the name. It's the life behind the name that makes demons tremble. So there was a man called Sceva. He was a high priest, which means he had theology in his blood, gave it to his offspring. And this offspring of Sceva went to a demon-possessed man. They thought they had the correct application. So they went to him and said, we cast you out in the name of Jesus Christ, who Paul preaches. And the demon-possessed man started scanning. As you do with your downloads. They saw that the application is not applicable. Says, Jesus I know. Paul I know. But as for you. Which means you can't just claim the name of Jesus without the life. Because it's the life behind the name that makes the demons tremble. That's what the prophet says. You've got to have the deity behind the name. My. I feel religious. You've got to have the life. Because the devil knows that you've got a rogue application. You're calling a name without a life, so you won't have the results of the life. That name won't be judgment. But as long as you are living by a prescribed life, and you call a demon out, the demon will flee before you even call it, because there is something that registers, amen, with the manufacturer. This is the correct application of that name. So Brother Branham went to a place in Germany. There was a storm came up, vicious storm. In that storm, he had a brother, Brother Agenbride, and Brother Losi says, brother, just pray. The storm was raised up by people that were chanting, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. As they were chanting that name, storm got more serious. And it was about to challenge the prophet's message. But Abraham told the brothers that, please, hush. Then he prayed. He says, Lord, I've stepped on German soil in the name of Jesus Christ. This storm has no power over me. But yet the storm was being called up by a Trinitarian spirit. This storm has no power over me. And then it says, in the name of Jesus Christ, leave. It says, Brother Bram, so the spirit and the witches, just it all just came to naught. But yet they were using Trinitarian doctrine. And Brother Bram actually says, there were three men calling those three high words. Says, I saw them surrounded by evil spirits, but not bound. But they were saying, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. This is exactly the scenario of Jannes and Jambres. Two snakes come, and the actual snake that has the potence and the power, it's the other snake. Abraham rebukes that storm goes away. But it was conjured up in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And in his early years as a minister, he went to a place where they were chanting, practicing witchcraft. He just went there to observe. So he went with his buddy and he started seeing people, how they were chanting spirits and everything. And when he got there, he was looking. And there was somebody that said, do you believe in demons? And Brother Abraham said, yes, I do believe in demons. And Brother Abraham actually makes a comment and says, now these spiritualists were not phonies. They were real ones. Which means as much as we have three kinds of believers in the message, we also have three kinds of believers in demonology. So these ones were not phonies, they were real ones. And the other one raised up a table, put it in the air, and he says, like, who amongst you can bring that table down? It was a challenge of evil spirits. So two guys went, tried to pull the table down from one end to another, They tried to pull the table down, and it couldn't work. The table got fed up of the brothers and he just tossed them aside. And it remained mid-air. There was a guitar on top. It never flew away. And the lady that was there in the meeting says, say, you said you're a preacher, saying to Brother Branham. Brother says, yes, I'm a preacher, all right. Says, can you make that table go down? And he says, I cannot. But I represent one that can. Which is exactly the same mentality that Moses had when he knew that he was sent. He knew that he in himself have no power, but he's got to have some supernatural power behind him, and the power came into the stick. Just like the same old Peter who ran away and the cock crowed three times was the same man that went at the gate called Beautiful because of a power behind him. He was able to say, silver and gold have I none, such as I have. So I do admit, brothers and sisters, I do not have power. But I represent one that has. How many in here represents one that has? And Brother Branham took the challenge, says, Lord, I'm stepping into the challenge in the name of Jesus. So he got to the table, he says, I cast the spirit table, come down in the name of the Holy Church. Table remained mid-air. Table, come down in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Table couldn't move an inch. After he's finished mentioning all the other two snakes, he says, now let's bring the real deal. And he says, table, come down in Jesus' name. Just the moment he said in Jesus' name, the table went plump, pah, right up to the ground. You know what was happening? God allowed the prophet to raise the judgment rod over the table. The table must have looked up and saw the judgment rod. And said, hey, let's move out of this place. And plump down, he went to the ground. It's the same thing, my brother, in your situation. We don't have power to cast out no cancer. We don't have power to cast out no demon, no nothing. But when we come in the name of Jesus, Brother Donnie doesn't have the kind of power to take out cancer out of nobody. But when he comes to represent the one that has sent him and he raises the judgment road, let me tell you, my brother, the name of Jesus is so powerful, it can judge every cell in your body. So he says, in my name, come down. The table went plump to the ground. Why? Because the judgment road was raised. It's the same thing, that same judgment road that fled. Amen. Sorry, that same judgment road that made the waters to flee and make a way for the children of Israel to move as on dry ground. That same judgment road is still relevant to a message believer who keeps the deity of the name. The mystery of the power is keeping the deity, living the life. So when you call upon Jesus on a situation, it's like Moses waving the judgment road. Are you with me? So you begin to see that the book of Acts is predominantly the use of the Holy Ghost in the church. So it starts with Peter demonstrating the new app, how to use the judgment road. That is what other believers did not have before, though they believed. So believing alone without the life will not make you have the right application. Because the sons of Sceva, if it just amounted to believing, for them to take an action to cast out a devil in the name of Jesus, who Paul preaches, it means they believed and saw the effect of the power of Paul's ministry using that name, but they were not compatible to the software. Their own lives could not produce the goods. So he simply said to them, I cast, he simply says, Paul, I know. So how many believers are being told, oh yeah, William Branham, I know. Because you can't live a reckless type of life and be expecting to use that name in the same way. The name is followed by a particular life. And it's the life behind the name that makes the proud at humble. It's the life behind the name that makes the demons tremble. So you begin to see that in the first Exodus it worked, in the second Exodus it works, and in the last Exodus we have our prophet now explaining the stick, that stick was actually the name of Jesus Christ. But all these years people did not understand that power was that power that was possessed in that name. So you'll find a Baptist also shouting that name. Pentecostal also that name. What makes it different when we shout that name or leave that name or cast out devils by that name is the life in our lives. Anything short of that, brothers and sisters, we will not win. We'll just be like Jannes and Jambres before Moses. The sons of Sceva before the demon-possessed man. Because it recognizes itself. Are you with me? Brother Branham, in the message, he that is in you, he says now, you cannot expect to be blessed by that name if you don't reverence it. If you don't cherish it. If you don't uphold it. So it then appears to me, brothers and sisters, that the key in this name is the lives we live compared to our counterpart. Our counterpart is able to be cursing like a sailor on Monday, declaring the name on a Wednesday, and it doesn't work. The name has got to be reverenced again. The name has got to be respected. Because it's such a powerful name. The whole mystery of the message of the hour is to show us that the name of God has been restored back to the church. That is why whenever something supernatural happened, an angel appeared, he would ask what, somebody would ask, what is your name? He said, I won't tell you my name because my name is a secret. So the secret, if it's revealed to some people, that's only when it will be relevant. Samson lost his battles because he failed to reverence the anointing upon his life. He was living another kind of life and trying to use the name again. And subsequently it caught up with him. Which means, brothers and sisters, it's only when he realized that I've shaved off the life of the name of Jesus in my own life, that's when he cried for one more time. Then he began to feel his locks. And when the locks were upon him, he said, Lord, one more, let me perish with all these heathens. The mystery was in the life. It's in acknowledging that name. Brother Branham, in the Message Revelation series, when he came to a point where he said, I can no longer hide it. I've been stalling for a long time. But I've got to say it as it is. And he says, Trinitarianism is of the devil. And then he says, thus said the Lord. Now I find if you have a good Baptist in your workplace, you simply say he's a Christian, yet he's a Trinitarianism. Now it actually means that he has actually been baptized into Trinity, he's just been baptized into demonology. Yes, sir. No wonder he can't have victory because there is no judgment rolled over his life. So nothing can judge what is in his life. So you will wear, a lady will wear slacks. You call them slacks over here? Slacks? Doesn't mind bobbing her head. Doesn't mind. Doesn't make. She says, I believe God in my heart. Because the prescribed life of the message is for us to have the correct application of the name. Without that application correctly onto our software, there is no way we'll succeed as Christians. Are you with me? So Brother Abraham says, I've been stalling on this for a long time, but I want to tell you, Trinitarianism is of the devil. He says, I can tell you and trace to you how it started. He says, as a matter of fact, there is not even the word Trinity in the Bible. He says, it was brought about at Nicaea Council. Now, Nicaea Council is the equivalent of the council that happened in the Acts chapter 4. Where they said, let us threaten them not to use this name. So, the devil went underground and emerged 312 years later. And then now, they are able to literally obliterate the name of Jesus Christ in the churches and put in Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And somehow in our psyche, we've just believed that this is how the way things should be. But if you trace the origin of the name, it caused much havoc in the book of Acts. And the devil got out of bed. Never since he's been out of bed. That is why right now he now knows everybody proclaims Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. So he says, okay, to only beat these people, to whip them, let's take the deity out. So the deity is taken out of that same name. So you begin to live your life. Proclaiming Jesus without the life, you become like the sons of Sceva. You become like Jannes and Jambres. They also came with their sticks. Their sticks became snakes, but the snakes were eaten up. Remember when I preached this sermon in our church? The night I preached it, there's a sister that went to bed. And she dreamt that her brother had been mugged and beaten and left for dead in South Africa. So in the dream, she saw troubled with the body of her brother right in front of her. And then she hears a voice, and the voice says, use that rod, the name of the Lord. This is happening in a dream. And then she wakes out of the dream, and a phone call comes. It's news to tell her that her brother has been mugged and left for dead. And then she straight away says, I've got the solution to that problem. He will rise up in Jesus' name. That man is still alive up to today. you begin to see that once we begin to apply the simple truth that our prophet gave us in simplicity with the life that he prescribed, nothing fancy, just living how he told us how to live, praying how he told us how to pray, worshipping how he told us how to worship, living how he told us how to live, we will see the effects and the results of that name. How many believe that? Now, as I said, each and every one of us carries their own stick. I've got my own tonight. And I come in my office as a pastor. I say it right. Whatever it is that you're going through, I will raise my stick over your life. If you can raise your hand and say, Lord, if it's a disease, if it's a sickness, whatever it is that you have, I want to put a judgment on that stick by raising the stick that I also possess. Because I do have mine. You have yours. So when I say in the name of Jesus, that cancer has got to depart. To somebody who doesn't believe these things is, oh well, you know, I really need to be prayed for and shaken and feel something and feel the anointing. But to a believer that lives the life and understands the mystery of the name, it's judgment over that sickness. Peter never did anything spectacular. I simply said, I silver and gold have I none, such as I have, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. There were no drum roll, nothing exciting. So I've not come to give you information. I've also come with my stick for whatever you are going through, which means this stick can judge everything, can judge depression, can judge suicidal thoughts. All we simply have to do is wave it over your suicidal self and tell you, in Jesus' name, let that spirit depart from your life. Because that name is an application only for the message believer. That's the mystery that nobody knows nothing about other than true message believers. As far as other people are concerned, it was just a stick that Moses did to show the miraculous and do something that will be so spectacular to convince Moses. But what I say is, to Moses, it became a supernatural stick. To the believers in Mark chapter 11, where Peter was one of them, that stick was actually given so that they might be believable. So he says, these signs shall follow them that believe. The question was believability. If you can understand my English. The question with Moses is, they will not believe me. The question with those that came from Emmaus, they were not believed. And the question now with you believers today in our lives, if you parade a theology, are you believable? Or if you parade a power? If you represent a power, you are more likely to be believed if you know how to use the application of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ appropriately in your life. When I was listening to this tape and I came to this revelation, it's so personal to me. I said, I will never see the name of the Lord in the same way. It's not something that you chant after prayer and then before you put your full stop. It's actually a judgment road to anything that comes underneath it. So Happy Valley, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you ever have anything that you want in your life, use that name. Because it's a judgment road. And the judgment road judges every circumstance. Amen. May God bless you. Brother Donnie. When we take the name of the Lord Jesus, it says, take the name of Jesus with you as a shield from every foe. When temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name. Just the breath of that name is judgment to your circumstance. That name is more relevant today than before. The mystery of the ministry of Brother Branham was to restore deity to a name that had been dispossessed by theology and people that did not know its worth. So the Bible says, in everything that you do, do it in His name. Don't take it lightly. Don't look down upon that name. Whatever you require in your life, it's all in that name. Salvation is in that name. Healing is in that name. Everything for this journey is through that name. The name of Jesus Christ. If you feel any defeat in your life, say to yourself, Lord, allow me to reacquaint myself with your true program. Bring back the deity in my life. It'll allow me to have the power behind that name. The name of Jesus Christ. It's not a religious slogan. It's a life. It's a judgment road to all our circumstances and situations. Back then it was only in Moses' hand. But now it's for whosoever believeth. Do you believe that you can actually carry that name wherever you go? Live out that name. I'd like to ask you to bow heads as I pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God Almighty, we realize that the ploy of the devil was to not make this name powerful in our lives, allowing us to mix it with so many nasty things so that when it comes a time to proclaim it, it feels like the sons of Sceva saying, I cast you out in the name of Jesus Christ who Paul preaches. And the devil had enough sense to say, Paul I know, Jesus I know, but who are you? It means the devil had enough unction to understand that if you don't live the life, even if you proclaim the name, nothing will happen. But yet our prophet, by divine revelation and dropping these mystery truths, he was able to explain to us that that stick tonight is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, no doubt there is needs in your congregation. Father God, in simplicity of quoting this name and living this name, if there be anyone that's vexed with an evil spirit, Lord, I stretch forth my rod in the name of Jesus Christ to judge that sickness. Hallelujah. Judge that depression. Judge anything that comes in the way of your people. You took captivity captive and you gave gifts unto men so that we are able to stand before your people and proclaim and judge their situations, judge the sins, judge everything in the name of Jesus Christ. No wonder, Lord, when you lived here on earth, you said, whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, do it in the name of the Lord. Father, this Wednesday night, let it be, Father, we are able to pick up our dignity, dust ourselves off of being ordinary believers, but rather pick up what is our heritage, which is the name of the Lord. And proclaim it. Live it. Because it's the only power, the only force that we have on this earth. Just like Moses could never open the Red Sea without that name, we cannot do nothing without your name. Lord, we thank you for our pastor, Brother Donnie, who stood for many, many years for this message. No doubt, Lord, you have kept him a sin, a thing or two about evil spirits and the Spirit of God. I pray that you might keep him some more. So pray, Lord, for this congregation tonight. Let your grace and mercy be upon each and every believer. Surrender the service into your hands as we plead your blood. We pray tonight, Lord, that whatever revelation of your name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I commit your people before you. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, folks. So happy to have been in your midst. Praise the Lord. Brother Donnie, God bless you, sir.
Be sure and mention to you before you left, whether you have an iPhone or a Droid, be sure and download the Rapture app. Hallelujah. Oh my. Wasn't that wonderful? Goodness. The name of Jesus. No other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Is it any wonder that Satan and all of his filthy tactics will try to come right back in the very message that restored the name and deity to our Lord Jesus and try to attack it again with his two lords stuff? Oh my. But let me just tell him tonight, will not bow. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Harry, sing us something about that name. Let's just sing a little bit before we go, can't we? Hey, whatever you have need of tonight, hold your judgment rod over it.
Yes, sir.
Maybe we can leave here and say the same thing. We've heard strange things tonight. We've seen strange things. But God has placed that rod in our hand. I hold that judgment over that disease, that sickness that's trying to trouble me. Oh, praise God. That thing that's holding my children, holding my family, whatever it is, I hold it over in the name of Jesus. It's got to let him go. Oh, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Praise God. Praise God. We worship you, Jesus.
One with God, the Lord Most High.
Yes, Lord.
The hidden glory in creation.
Yes, Father.
Now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. Didn't want heaven without us.
Yes, Lord.
So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. Christ my King, what a wonderful name it is, nothing compares to this, what a wonderful name it is, could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the bones of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring. The praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is.
What a powerful name.
Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, our God reigns. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we so thank you tonight for your precious, wonderful name. Lord, I thank you, dear God, that you have not only let us hear that name. Lord, I realize in different parts of the world, no doubt there are people still in this modern day that have never heard the name of Jesus. Tribes in Africa, tribes in the darkest regions of jungles and here and there. How grateful we are tonight, Lord, to know that powerful name. Oh, Jesus, to us, it's not some magical enchantment that we repeat it three times or four times. But it is a life. There's a life behind that name. And we are grateful. We don't just use that name when we pray. We don't just use that name when we're in Cracker Barrel or Burger King and we ask the blessing on our food. But that name is in our soul. That name is in our nature. That name is in our life. Thank you, Father. May you go with us now, Lord. I pray may we ruminate on these things as sheep do. May it change us, Lord. May it change us. As our brother has said, Satan has done a great, powerful thing in that he's made that name so common. People use it every day. Oh, Christ. Oh, Jesus. It's just a byword. But to us, it's not that. Amen. Hallelujah. May it never become common, Lord. And we know with the Hebrews, your name, El Shaddai, El Elyon, it was so sacred that they would not even pronounce many of your titles because lest they would become so common. I pray, Father, it would not become common to us. We love you tonight. Thank you for our brother. I pray that you'd strengthen him, refresh him, Lord. We thank you for your word tonight, Lord. Go with us now, Lord. Bring us back at the appointed time, we pray. In that wonderful, precious name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. How many can say it's been good in the house of the Lord? Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Let's sing it together as we go. Service here Saturday night again.
come expecting the Lord once again to meet with us as His gracious blessings do always. We're so thankful. How many times have we met here over the years? My goodness, we just celebrated 30 years of being here with you and the church three times a week, sometimes even more than that. Think of the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times that we've gathered. Some of you haven't been here. Maybe sickness, you went on vacation, something happened. Maybe I was gone. I was gone into a meeting somewhere and I wasn't here. But even when I wasn't here, He was. Even when you wasn't here, He was. And if we were here for another 500 years, He'll still be here. Because He loves it when His people are gathered together in His name. God bless you, saints. Let's go in the fear of God. What a beautiful name it is.
What a beautiful name it is.
Amen.
What a beautiful name it is.
God bless you. Go in the fear of God.
The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name. Didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, You brought heaven down. My sin was great, Your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. You were the Word in the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory and creation now our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my